Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading for the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Sunday, August 11th. Environmental Partnership Report details progress in curtailing emissions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. In the year since the Environmental Partnership was formed by oil and gas producers, membership has grown from about 20 companies to 65. These companies represent more than 80% of the nation's top natural gas producers. The partnership recently issued its first report highlighting the industry's progress in reducing methane and volatile organic compounds emissions. Quote, "We hope that the release of the annual report demonstrates the value of joining this important and growing coalition of companies," Matthew Todd, Program Director for the Environmental Partnership, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "The feedback on the experience of our participants is telling. For example, we've heard from smaller operators who have appreciated how the partnership has given them access to resources and information on cutting-edge technology and operational best practices to reduce their environmental impact," he wrote. Todd said the partnership has had a number of regional workshops, including three in Midland, that he said were successful. Quote, "When one smaller company became involved with the partnership, they were still finalizing their emissions detection and repair program. Through the partnership, they were able to learn from and collaborate with other companies who had already successful programs in place," he said. "Being able to see the depth and the details of those programs helped springboard their own, enabling the company to operate their facilities at a higher level. These opportunities to learn, collaborate, and take action in order to responsibly develop our nation's essential natural gas and oil resources are at the foundation of the partnership's mission," end quote. The annual report quoted Tyler Timmons, production engineer with Midland's Crown Quest Operating, as saying it was important for his company to attend and to have an opportunity to communicate to other local operators the value of participating in the partnership. Chevron provided a statement to the Reporter-Telegram saying, quote, "Chevron is proud to be among the first companies to commit to implementing the programs of the Environmental Partnership. This initiative demonstrates industry's commitment to reducing methane emissions through innovation and deployment of best practices. Reducing methane emissions makes good environmental and business sense. Fundamentally, fugitive methane emissions reduce the volume of product available to sell, so our industry has financial incentive to reduce leakage," end quote. Occidental Petroleum referred the Reporter-Telegram to a quote in the report from Vicky Holub, President and Chief Executive Officer. Quote, "Occidental employs cutting-edge technologies and processes to contribute to the decline in methane emissions and to achieve exemplary safety and environmental performance. Our participation in the Environmental Partnership is an extension of Occidental's continuing commitment to conducting its business in a manner that protects the health and safety of people and the environment at its facilities and in the communities where we operate. The learnings from the partnership workshops have been valuable to Occidental," end quote. Todd said that, quote, "It's clear that implementation of the performance programs are all actions that reduce emissions and help companies to keep their product in the pipe, ultimately helping both their bottom line and environmental performance, end quote. The Environmental Partnership focuses on three performance programs: implementing leak detection and repair. The annual report found in total more than 156,000 surveys were conducted across more than 78,000 production sites. The surveys found that only 0.16% of participant components were in need of repair, 10 times lower than EPA's estimated 1.4% leak rate, and 99% of these are repaired within 60 days. Replacing pneumatic controller. More than 31,000 high-bleed pneumatic controllers have been replaced, retrofitted, or removed from service by the companies participating in the program. Notably, 38 participating companies no longer employ any high-bleed pneumatic controllers in their operations as innovative technologies and newer infrastructure is in place. Increased monitoring. Through the Environmental Partnership's manual liquids unloading program, more than 132,000 manual liquids unloading events were monitored in 2018, helping to minimize emissions associated with the removal of liquids and increase the efficiency of each well. Todd said the program is, quote, purposely designed to evolve as we learn from the data that is submitted from the participating companies and determine whether there are additional opportunities to address other sources of air emissions or other environmental issues. One example of this, since the program's launch, was the recognition among the participating companies to identify work practices for improved maintenance of gas-driven pneumatic controllers. These maintenance work practices can reduce emissions by ensuring proper operation of controllers, end quote. He said the participating companies will continue to focus on accomplishing the three principles of the program: learning, collaborating, and taking action. This will include continuing the workshops, providing an opportunity for operators to share their successes and lessons learned, continuing to implement the environmental performance programs, and continuing to collaborate with academia, regulators, and other third-party stakeholders to further improve the industry's environmental performance, he said. Asked about skepticism from the environmental community, Todd answered, quote, the Environmental Partnership serves as a model for industry leadership on shared environmental goals and creating pathways for new technologies and techniques like optical gas imaging cameras, drones, and other devices to continue to drive down emissions and keep more product in the pipe while providing the energy vital to every American family and business. Besides the environmental performance program's data evidence, the partnership's regional workshops and annual conference have shown implementation of leading practices, and in addition to annual reporting, companies have shared that they have evaluated or implemented work practices that were presented at the workshops. The culture the partnership has created is one of sharing and learning from each other, from the largest to the smallest operators, and participants in the workshops have expressed excitement to take what they learned back to their company to make their efforts more effective. The participating companies have demonstrated that industry is committed to continually improving environmental performance regardless of regulations, Todd said. In a statement following the release of the report, Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, said, quote, oil and natural gas continue to make American life better. The tremendous progress outlined in the Environmental Partnership's report demonstrates the effectiveness industry-led solutions to the challenges we face today. I am extremely proud of the success of the Environmental Partnership in its first year. By using the latest innovations and technologies to enhance environmental performance, leading oil and natural gas companies are reducing the impact of operations while providing the energy that powers modern life. Through collaboration and coordination, the industry will continue to lead the way toward a cleaner, stronger energy future." End quote. Staples said nearly 36 TXOGA members are also part of the partnership. He noted that the report states energy production grew 100% from 2011 to 2017 in the Permian Basin, while methane emissions relative to production fell nearly 40%. In the Eagle Ford, production grew 130% during that time, while methane emissions fell nearly 70%. Occidental Ecopetrol form $1.5 billion joint venture. Agreement involves 97,000 acres of Oxy holdings in Midland Basin. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Occidental Petroleum and Columbia's Ecopetrol have announced a $1.5 billion joint venture to develop acreage in the Midland Basin. The joint venture is comprised of 97,000 net acres of Occidental's holdings across Andrews, Ector, Glasscock, Howard, Martin, Midland, Reagan, and Upton counties. The acreage includes 4,700 gross locations with rights to multiple benches, including the Middle and Lower Spraberry and the Wolfcamp A, B, and C. Ecopetrol will pay $750 million in cash at closing, which is expected in the fourth quarter, and $750 million in capital during the joint development period, which Ecopetrol put at the next 5 years during its presentation to investors. Occidental will have 51% ownership of the joint venture and Ecopetrol 49%. The joint venture does not include Occidental's existing wells, and Occidental will continue to operate the acreage. During the joint development period, Ecopetrol will pay 75% of Occidental's share of capital expenditures, and Occidental will receive 51% of the joint venture's production. In Occidental's second quarter earnings call, Vicki Holub, President and Chief Executive Officer, told investors the joint venture is an opportunity to develop its Midland Basin assets while also focusing on its Delaware Basin assets. Quote, "The acquisition of Anadarko Petroleum increased our development potential in the Delaware Basin by more than 50%, which extends our development horizon in the Delaware by at least another decade, as well as providing significant infrastructure synergies," she said on the earnings call. Continuing the quote, "As we develop our Delaware operations to predominantly drive our production growth over the next few years, this joint venture is an excellent opportunity to bring forward the net present value of our Midland assets without sacrificing any of our current production or cash flow," end quote. She said Ecopetrol's payment of 75% of Occidental's share of capital expenditures will allow the company to accelerate its development plans for the Midland Basin, and called it one example of, quote, "the innovative ways through which we can maximize the value of our assets while deleveraging," end quote. Holub went on to tell investors that the company sees upside in its Midland Basin acreage by being able to use its enhanced oil recovery expertise to get more of the reserves and resources out of the well. She said the joint venture allows Oxy to preserve its, quote, "opportunity to get significant upside in the Midland Basin through the application of CO2-enhanced oil recovery, ultimately. And we think the more that we have of this, the more upside that we have over time. And that, we believe, will give us an edge into the future on being able to get more out of existing wells rather than having to go drill new wells." End quote. For its part, Ecopetrol, which has a long-standing partnership with Occidental in Colombia, expects the transaction to allow it to book 160 million barrels of proven undeveloped reserves and gives it access to Occidental's transportation and storage infrastructure. The company also touted the knowledge and technology transfer it will gain from the joint venture that can be applied not only to formations in the Midland Basin, but transferred to its unconventional shale work in Colombia. Analysts with Wood Mackenzie said the joint venture could be part of a developing trend. In a comment provided to the Reporter Telegram, Michael Whitney from Wood Mackenzie's corporate research team said such ventures may become more common as the Permian matures. Quote, strategies of this nature should become more commonplace in a world stockpiled Permian inventory with drilling locations that wouldn't otherwise fit into development plans for upwards of a decade, he said. Maria Cortez, senior research manager, Latin America Upstream Oil and Gas, noted Ecopetrol's recent aggressive diversification strategy. Ecopetrol has picked up acreage in pre-salt Brazil in 2018 with Shell and Chevron, she said in a statement provided to the Reporter Telegram. Quote, these, together with the Occidental joint venture, are world-class partnerships for Ecopetrol, which will add resource and new capabilities. This has been driven by maturing indigenous production in Colombia, which has forced Ecopetrol to look elsewhere. However, these opportunities come at a cost, and value will have to be quickly created. Quote, exposure to shale will help strengthen Ecopetrol's own capabilities to develop this resource domestically. However, structural challenges like security, environmental permits, and community relations remain unresolved and will likely postpone development, she said.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, August 11th, 2019. Oil Report. Produced Water Reuse Report offers insight, Path Forward, by Mella McEwen. MMCEWEN at MRT.com. One of the things that strikes me is there is a lot of negativity, said Michael Dunkel, as he opened the second day of the Produced Water Society Permian Basins Conference at the Horseshoe. He told those in attendance that since 2007-2008, a lot of people in Africa and Asia who were barely getting by have benefited from the energy supplied by the Permian Basin's shale boom. We've helped a lot of people we've never met, said Dunkel, Vice President Water for Upstream and Midstream at Advision, a Worley company. Still, there remains negativity surrounding water use in the shale oil fields, particularly concern that it takes away water for people and animals and its impact on the environment. That's why the Groundwater Protection Council issued a comprehensive report on produced water and its reuse. Kunkel, who was the primary author of the second of the report's three modules, focused on water reuse in the oil and gas industry, told the audience it was a collaboration of scientists, regulatory officials, members of academia, the oil and gas industry, and environmental groups. The report, which was issued in June, was funded by the U.S. Department of Energy. I believe the report has a lot of credibility for everyone, he said. The report was intended to identify opportunities and challenges associated with produced water reuse. The first module looked at the regulatory and legal framework. Water rights and responsibilities vary from state to state, the report's authors found. Kunkel said each state's regulatory framework may need to evolve to facilitate reuse. I didn't realize until recently that each state has long-term water planning, he said. Oklahoma, for example, has a 50-year water planning cycle, he said. Taking produced water into consideration during those water planning cycles could facilitate reuse, he said. As to produced water reuse in the oil and gas sector, he said cost is the key driver in water management and reuse. Water management has evolved rapidly among industry players, and produced water midstream is emerging as a water management strategy, he said. Just 3 years ago, water midstream wasn't a term that was widely recognized. In a very short time, everyone has begun talking about it, he said. Wall Street is telling all companies, from Exxon to Laredo, that they need to live within their cash flow. The chief executive officer in that situation has to consider whether to spend money on a horizontal well or $200,000 to haul water. The challenges for the industry include adapting to regulations, transportation and storage, underground injection, treatment, spill management and mitigation, treatment residue management, air emissions, and wildlife protection. Research and policy initiatives still need to be addressed to help facilitate expanded produced water reuse in oil and gas operations, he said. Research needs to be done into leak detection, specific treatment challenges, improving enhanced evaporation or desalination and automation in treatment systems, for example. Regulations and policies are needed to track water transfer, designate produced water as a commercial product, on storage, on temporary lay flat lines, right-of-way on county roads. Clarity of regulations is needed, as are incentives. Reuse of produced water outside of oil fields is less than 1%, according to Kunkel, who said many opportunities exist and can be realized with further research. Those possibilities include drought relief, fire protection, dust suppression, irrigation of additional crops, irrigation of public areas, such as parks and golf courses, and industrial cooling. But there are feasibility considerations, including water quality, water volume and longevity, logistics and infrastructure, he said. The level of treatment for reuse will depend on its intended use. More research is needed to ensure reuse can be done safely, he said. Other considerations include public perception, economics, logistics, and regulations and policies. The three modules of the report were designed to educate the public, regulators, and the industry about the nuances of water management, to support the industry by showing its progress, and to suggest that more research is needed for discharge or beneficial use of produced water. Conference speaker makes case for Hydrovascular Water Network by Mella McEwen, MMCEWEN at MRT.com. More than 300 people streamed into the Horseshoe on Wednesday to share ideas and best practices on managing the produced water flowing out of Permian Basin oil and gas wells as the Permian Basin chapter of the Produced Water Society began its two-day conference. The first thing attendees heard was the case for greater water infrastructure connectivity, or a hydrovascular network in the Permian Basin. Building such a grid would perfect the midstream model, build connectivity, rationalize capital expenditures and system utilization, and achieve sustainability valuations, said Gabe Collins with the Baker Institute at Rice University. Collins said, the oil-filled water markets in the Midland Basin and Delaware Basin will coalesce into several large areas of market dominance as water midstream firms and their exploration and production customers consolidate. Greater connectivity can bring about better utilization of disposal wells and recycling capacity and, potentially, public-private partnerships that allow water to be moved outside of the Permian Basin to the mutual economic and hydrological benefit of multiple stakeholders, he said. He said that, in a lot of ways, the Permian Basin water midstream sector is moving toward interconnectivity, but it's a choppy process. It's never a smooth process, especially when commodity prices are involved, he told the Reporter Telegram following his presentation. The only resistance to rising interconnectivity may come from investors who entered the segment at a certain price level and want a certain multiplier of returns, whereas interconnectivity and sharing of capacity could bring about a lower return, he said. Even so, he said larger companies are entering the water midstream sector. We're seeing large private equity folks. We've seen a pension fund get exposure, he said, adding that Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, GIC, purchased in May a stake in Waterbridge Resources. He said Permian Basin oil and gas operators and water midstream companies collectively handle more water than major Texas cities. For example, Permian E&P companies used 5 million barrels a day of frack water in the fourth quarter of 2018, which is equal to the average water demand of San Antonio. And the Permian Basin's average water injection volumes are more than twice the volumes of wastewater Houston treated on an average day last year. Anticipated future produced water volumes will require unorthodox solutions, Collins said, citing as an example a proposal to pipe Permian Basin produced water to the Gulf Coast and discharging the treated produced water into the ocean or into depleted offshore fields. Other ways to repurpose produced water beyond the oil patch include utilizing it for non-food crops or for power plant cooling or other industrial uses. Collins offered several predictions. First, for the 12 months that began in August 2018. A major water midstream company goes public or has another liquidity event. At least three additional large public equity-backed companies enter the Permian Basin. At least three sizable water midstream companies will be acquired and treated, commingled produced water will begin to be sold at a commercial price. He said that by August 2020, there will be a $1 billion water midstream transaction. At least five entities other than Pioneer Water will transport and inject 500,000 or more barrels of produced water, and there will be at least two restructurings of distressed water midstream assets. Collins' final prediction was that by August 2021, 4 million barrels per day of incremental water must be handled.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.